This is From the Hunched Closet. I'm your host, Anna.
Hi, I'm your co-host, Jamie.
How have you been?
I've been doing pretty okay.
How are you?
I'm all right. I don't have any complaints.
As good as you can be.
Yeah, how are you?
Yeah. You know, the same. Yeah. I had something really creepy happen this week. Like, it wasn't, like, supernatural at all, but, like, it freaked me out.
I would love to hear it.
So I was driving my kids home from dance on Saturday, and I was at a red light, and there was a big truck hauling a trailer in front of me, and our light turns green, and we're both turning left.
Mm-hmm.
So he pulls out. And this red truck comes zooming and, like, has to slam on the brakes, but he doesn't even, like, go into the intersection. Like, he stops, like, abruptly, but he stops. And, like, you know what happens? Nobody was hurt or anything. This guy, like, the guy driving the big truck in the trailer, he stopped, and then he started moving a little bit, so he's, like, right in front of this other truck, and he gets out of his truck and starts screaming at this guy, trying to open his door and shit.
Away.
So he, like, this other truck then that had to slam on the brakes, the red truck goes to back up a little bit, but he can't fucking back up now. And this guy's in the middle of the intersection, so, like, I can't go and nobody else can move. And he's, like, just screaming, fucking losing it.
He really was about to fight that man.
Yeah. I was like,
right in front of you and your children.
Yeah. And I live in Minnesota. Like, a lot of people have guns all the time.
I thought everybody was nice there.
Well, apparently not this guy. Like, oh my god. And then in hindsight, when someone is being aggressive like this probably wasn't the best move on my part, but I just laid on the horn.
No, honestly, I think that was a good idea.
Babe. like I didn't even, like, look at me, but then, like, after I was like, what if that guy, like, came and, like, ran at me? Like, there was a car behind me. I wouldn't have been able to move. Like, I probably could have, like, squeaked and, like, turned right if I had to. But then I was, like, shaking, like, what did I do?
Dude, that's ballsy of you.
Dude, okay, I have, like, a little road rage, too. Like, not to the point where I'm going to get out of my fucking vehicle and start screaming at somebody. But I use my horn like nobody's business.
Honestly, that was brave, because, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think of it till afterwards, and then I was like,
"Was the man too stunned to speak?"
He didn't even, like, look at me. He must have been, like, only pissed at the other guy. It's like, how can you scream at someone else for being a shitty driver and then pulling a stunt like that and, like, in the middle of a fucking intersection,
blocking the entire traffic? Not to mention, you guys just had a snowstorm.
It was the day before the snowstorm, so I mean, it wasn't bad, but
oh, okay,
but still, no. Yeah, so, like, he gets in his vehicle, and then I have to sit there again for, like, another red light, and the person behind me is just, like, sitting behind me, like, she, like, I could see, like, her expression through my rearview mirror. She was also, like, what the fuck, but also, like, she's a sane person, so she's not, like, laying on her horn the entire time.
I'm so glad you did that, though.
I regretted it.
Tensions are rising.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Not something you see every day in the Midwest.
Yeah, so that was my creepy experience this week.
Yeah, I would be scared too, especially with little kids in the car.
Yeah, I was, like, shaking afterwards. Like, yeah. Ballsy in the moment, but, like, afterwards I was like, oh my god.
I'm honestly kind of, like, impressed with the I did, at my friend's house, we saw a fight happening in her front yard. I mean, nobody, like, threw fists or anything, but one guy yelling out of his house at another guy who was yelling down the street at an old lady. And honestly, it was everybody's fault. You know what it was about? People walking their dogs without leashes.
Oh, yeah, I get that, though. That's fucking annoying.
They were both walking their dogs without leashes.
Oh, yeah, then they both fucking suck. I have no, like, I can't stand that.
Do you want to hear my creepy story?
Absolutely, I do.
It actually just happened, so it's fresh in my brain. I showed you that picture?
Yeah, you sent me a snap.
And I told you, so this is a 7-year-old four-panel comic that she drew herself. And it's a story. And if picture, all you see is the back of a stick figure with like straight hair. And it's looking into a mirror and you see a face looking back at it through the mirror with big X'd out eyes and the face scribbled in. And so that's the first panel, and you flip it over and it waves. Like, it waves to the mirror and says, hi. She told me, she was explaining this all. She's like, oh, hi, to the thing in the mirror. And it smiles at her. And then flip to the third panel and it pulls up a knife and does a evil laugh. And then the next panel is her head falling off, and her head fell off in the third panel and she was dead in the fourth.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Did you ever play Bloody Mary as a kid?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's just what that reminds me of, because it has a mirror.
Yeah.
Also, all I could think of is like, you know, in scary movies when the kid is like obviously possessed and like drawing weird shit and all the parents are like, oh yeah, this is fine.
I'm so proud of you. That's impressive. I told her, I was like, wow, you know, as creepy as this is, I'm like, it's a good story for the like a 7-year-old.
Right.
I don't know how your mind comes up with it.
Yeah, my 6-year-old draws creepy shit all the time. Not like, not as detailed as that with a full story, but she'll like, oh, I'm drawing monsters. I'm drawing blood. Yeah. So make sure her little sister who's 3 doesn't see it. Honestly, kids use storytelling and drawing as such a way to like work through different things.
Right. I wish I'd do some art therapy. She's a Sagittarius, so you know.
Girl, me too.
A little moody.
Hey, no.
You know.
We're not that moody. We're very creative. Mm-hmm. We're very
based on your moods.
Yeah. And I would say not even like just creative, but like the spontaneous. I don't know. We can be a lot.
Are you a lot, Anna? Is that what you're telling me?
Huh?
Are you a lot, Anna?
I mean, it can be. My husband's a Sagittarius too, so like
you get it.
Yeah, like you I really feel for our kids, like sorry, guys. You got some weird parents.
It's okay. The kids I babysit, one's a Pisces and the other's a Cancer.
Yeah.
They both cry all the time.
My oldest is a Taurus and she acts like a Taurus.
She's a sleepy girl?
No, bullheaded.
Yeah, that's maybe true. I can attest to that.
We tried to record last week. And I think from now on, I'm just going to try to do a podcast every other week.
Okay.
Because I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I just don't have enough time to do all of the research and stuff that I want to do to go into making an episode that I want to make.
You're on call 24/7.
Yes. And my youngest has been not feeling great the last 2 weeks off and on. And it's been a lot. She's been up all night, some nights. And it's just, it's too much. It's too much to add on. Because I like to do several hours of like research.
Yeah. Smarty pants.
Well, I like to have a very, like a basic knowledge of what I'm talking about. I don't want to just be like reading it off, you know? Yeah.
I know nothing.
I don't. You get the easy part of like listening and like asking the questions. I don't think to add.
It works great for me.
Well, honestly, I like it. I like the dynamic of like being told like a story.
Yeah, I like hearing it too.
Yeah, like I like that. So, but anyway, it's been really hard for me. So I felt like doing every other week would be great.
Here for you, Anna.
And then we, for our listeners, we tried to record last week, and I just didn't have.
I don't think either material. Of us did last week.
Huh?
Neither of us did last week. I was sick too.
Yeah, you weren't feeling well. My daughter was up all night the night before. I was exhausted. I didn't have enough material, and it just wasn't what I wanted it to be. Our intro was pathetic. Nobody was feeling it. Yeah, our intro was like 2 minutes long. Just like, hey, how's it going?
I don't even remember what my creepy story was.
I don't even think you had one.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, you know, some weeks are like that, but it was just not great. The total episode was like 15 minutes. And that was before editing it. So I was like, this isn't going to work.
But tomorrow.
Yeah, well, this will be good, though. Like, I'm going into this feeling much better than I did last week.
Me too. But what I was going to say before was, I was thinking about how you're very, I don't want to say pessimistic. Maybe, what's the word? When it comes to the supernatural stuff, you're always
skeptical.
Inquisitive about it.
Yeah.
But you're also, you also have this little bit of, like, you're a witch kind of side to you.
Yeah.
So it's conflicting. That's all. That was my thought.
Yeah. Well, I guess the way, like, I like to look at it is, like, I want to make sure I am keeping an open mind.
Yeah.
To everything. But also, I want to make sure that I'm being, like, scientific to it, too. Because, like, ultimately, if there's not science backing something up, I don't believe in it. Like, I would like...
Yeah.
For there to be certain supernatural things to be real, and, like, I really want them to. Like, if I could fucking see the future or, like, fly or, like, have you ever watched, like, Charmed, where they all have, like, these cool superpowers and shit? Like,
weren't they witches?
Yeah, they were witches.
Okay. Yeah, I used to watch that before school.
Yeah, dude, I was obsessed as a kid. Like, that was my jam.
That and Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
I was really into Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I never got into that one.
I tried to watch it as an adult, and my brother watched it as an adult, and he enjoyed it. Yeah. And I tried to, and I got, like, to episode 5, and he's like, no, you need to, like, power through season 1 because it gets better. Because it's so, like, campy and cheesy and, like, 90s humor is, yeah, like, oh, God.
Some 90s shows are like that. Like, some things that are so 90s but are still good movies.
Yeah. No, and I feel like that with Charmed. Like, Charmed started in the 90s, and I don't feel that way, but I also feel like Buffy might have been aimed more towards, like, teenagers at the time, and I feel like Charmed was more, like, young adults.
Gotcha.
I also feel like with Buffy, you really have to look at it like it's a product of the time, because there's definitely themes in it that did not age very well.
Oh, that happens.
Sorry.
I just said that happens.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are things that were, like, really great. Like, there's lesbians in it. And, you know, at the time, that was almost unheard of. But the way that they go about them isn't always necessarily good.
It's of the time.
Yeah. Or, like, there's sexual assault, and it's more, like, very forgiving of those aspects. As we're now, like, that would completely not be acceptable.
Sorry. Excuse me.
Another tangent. I feel like I'm going to be doing a lot of editing.
You could just leave those in as responses.
Like, okay, I should, like, make a sound of, like, you were burping. And, like, whenever I'm, like, done saying something, if there's a silence, I'll cut the silence out and just add the belch.
I mean, it would save us some time.
Like, when I ask you questions and it's just like an awkward pause for a second while you think.
Record like 3 different ones. See if anybody, wait and see if anybody notices.
Right. Okay. Let's focus. Our topic for tonight is demons.
We should talk about the evils of capitalism one day, but I'll continue.
Oh, God. So when you hear the word demon, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? And there's no wrong answers other than capitalism.
That's not a wrong answer.
I meant, like, not that it's a wrong answer, but, like, other than.
Oh, like, right now it's not acceptable.
We've established that.
I think of it in, I guess I think, like, being, I still imagine it how I imagined it in summer school, you know.
Are you saying Sunday school? Okay.
I'm like Sunday school, you know. Do you know what I remember from Sunday school? Those big foam blocks. Did your summer school have those?
Sunday school? So mine was weird. We only had Sunday school one Sunday a month, but it would last from the time church got out at 9 o'clock until like noon or 1 o'clock.
Oh, that's a long time.
Oh God, it was awful. Like as a child, I fucking hated it.
I can't remember anything but playing with the blocks. I didn't really pay attention. So this might be why I don't really know anything. But okay. How I picture a demon is so a really tall, ripped, human-looking man with horns, and he's all like black, maybe with a red outline and like evil like smirk on his face. Handsome for some reason.
Right.
That's how I imagine him. Short in shorts with no shoes or socks.
I feel like demons are either
and no body hair.
Yeah, right. They're either like visualized as being like these hideous, ugly creatures or like so beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah. And sometimes I guess I do imagine them as hideous too.
So the word demon comes from the word daemon, meaning god, godlike power, or fate. Originally, daemons were not seen as the quote-unquote evil beings we think of when we hear the word demon today. In fact, Socrates claimed to have a divine something that frequently warned him in the form of a voice against making mistakes. In many ways, a daemon was thought to be what we think of as a guardian angel in today's society.
From the which religions?
Greek mythology and
Hellenistic. What's an example of a Hellenistic one?
So according to Britannica, this would include Greece, Roman, Egyptian, Syrian, Palestinian, any kind of religions taking place in those regions.
Okay, cool.
Demons, as we know them today, are believed by many cultures and religions to be a spiritual entity that may be conjured and sometimes even controlled.
That's why people say kids are demons, because they can't control. They have no impulse control.
I don't know. Would you conjure and control a demon?
Would I?
Yeah, would you do it?
Oh, would you?
Yeah.
If you could prove it and it works, yeah.
I could try. Actually, from a lot of the sources I looked at, it was like, do you have a mental illness? This is not for you. So we're both out. Like, you have to be a stable mind and like not whatever your goal is to achieve, you can't like want it too bad. Like, you can't be desperate.
Oh. That goes against every movie where they're like doing seances and stuff ever.
Right. Well, that's why every movie where they do that is usually like a horror movie, because they shouldn't be dabbling in that shit.
Yeah.
Like, you want a demon? Mm-mm. You're too depressed.
We should not dabble in that. You're too depressed. Damn, even demons don't want me.
Demons are still largely feared due to their alleged power to possess living creatures. Have you ever heard of the possession of Annalise, I'm not sure if it's pronounced Mitchell or Mikkel. It's German. It's a German last name.
It sounds familiar.
So Anna Elizabeth, or Annalise Mikkel, was born September 1952. She was born and raised Catholic and is one of the best known demonic possession or alleged demonic possession cases. The movie The Exorcism of Emily Rose is actually based off of her.
Okay. I'm pretty sure I saw that when I was a kid.
So when she was 16, she was experiencing seizures and was diagnosed with psychosis caused by temporal lobe epilepsy. After this diagnosis, she became depressed and took medicine for several years, but it never really seemed to help. By the age of 20, she began to hear voices and became intolerant of religious objects. So because she was Catholic, this would include things like crucifixes, holy water. Annalise and her family became convinced that she was possessed by at least one demon. Her family then contacted the Catholic Church in order to get an exorcism for her.
Maybe it was just religious trauma and she's just really traumatized.
Well, really, this is also in Germany after World War II. Like, recently after World War II. So I could definitely see there being a lot of trauma for everyone.
Yep.
She was originally denied for an exorcism, but eventually two priests agreed to help her and her family. And that was approved in 1975. They began conducting the exorcism on her, and at this point, she stopped eating food and became malnourished and dehydrated. She ended up having to kneel so many times during these exorcisms that both of her knees actually ended up breaking, and she was still forced to kneel, and her parents would actually, like, hold her and help hold her in the kneeling position.
That's okay. You're telling me this doesn't just sound like abuse?
Well, exactly, and that's going to come into play later in the story. So also at this point, the exorcism started in 1975. Mm-hmm. This is after The Exorcist came out. So a lot of skeptics really think that this may have heavily influenced Annalise's psyche.
Yeah. Because if it was like that after they thought she was...
Exactly. So after 67 exorcism sessions, Annalise ended up passing away due to malnourishment and dehydration.
Did she stop eating or did they stop feeding her?
She stopped eating. She became very sickly, and she also was reported to have contracted pneumonia. After her death, the government investigated, obviously, because she was really young. She was only, she was only 23 when she died.
Oh, yeah, that's young.
Yeah. So her parents got charged, and then the two priests, Ernest Alt and Arnold Rentz, were charged with negligent homicide. Their lawyers were all sponsored by the church, and the state ended up recommending that no involved parties be jailed, and instead recommended a sentence for the priests as a fine. The prosecution did end up letting the parents be exempt from punishment because they considered them to have suffered enough.
What? Doesn't this sound like something that would have happened in, I don't know, I want to say medieval times, but I feel like there might be something more specific.
Right. Oh, I'm sure, like, that happened during the medieval times,
too. But this just happened in the 70s?
Yeah.
Like, we're not as civilized as we think we are.
Right, exactly. Those
are somebody's parents and...
Well, and the reason they were charged, a lot of the prosecution was, why didn't you bring her back to, like, the doctors? Yeah, they were like, well, her medication wasn't working. And it's like, okay, but also, like, she is diagnosed with these mental health problems and this epilepsy. Obviously, she had some medical problems that they just weren't addressing.
Do you think before she got diagnosed with epilepsy, her parents were, like, praying away her demons when she had seizures and stuff like that?
I don't know. Could be. Something else interesting about this is that there are actually recorded tapes of the exorcism sessions,
mm-hmm,
where she would speak in various languages, and the demons would seem to be arguing with each other and the priests. And these demons that identified themselves as Lucifer, Cain, Judas, Belial, or Belial, Legion, Hitler, and Nero. Yeah.
Yeah, some war trauma. Because, like, she grew up religious, so she knows who the demons are.
Yeah.
Have you seen the video?
I've heard the recording, yeah.
Is it pretty convincing?
I heard a sample of what she sounded like just talking regularly, and then I heard the sound of the, you know, the demons arguing, and it doesn't really sound like her. I mean, it does, obviously, but, like, it's very, like a guttural kind of, I don't know how to really explain it. It's kind of disturbing.
Yeah. So, like, understandable why they thought she was possessed.
Right. The next item on our list is talking about King Solomon.
King Solomon, okay.
King Solomon is, well, it's unsure if he actually existed, but he is to believe to have ruled like 960 to 920 BC if he did. He is mentioned in many religious texts in Christianity and Judaism. His legends range from turning lead to gold, becoming invisible, to even conjuring and commanding demons, which is why we are talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Talmud, written in Babylon around 500 AD, Solomon made a deal with the devil to build the great temple of Jerusalem. According to the Testament of Solomon, he receives a ring from the archangel Michael with the seal of God on it, which is a pentagram, to command demons. With this ring, Solomon was able to control several demons, including Beelzebub, who is the prince of demons, and was once the highest ranking angel in heaven.
So he was of sound mind.
What?
Right, because you said you had to be of sound mind to be able to conjure demons. There's this apply here.
I was like, okay, I was not following. Yeah, so he would have had to have been.
I was thinking, you're right, I would not be able to, but go on.
So he is commonly considered a man who had everything and then ended up with nothing because he made so many deals with the devil and demons. And a lot of what happened too is he had all of these beautiful wives from all over, and a lot of them were like, yeah, I'll marry you, but you have to build an altar or a place of worship for this deity that I worship. And one of the commandments is, thou shalt not have other gods besides me.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that was like a big no-no.
He's doing some sinning.
Yeah. So he was doing a lot of big sinning in the eyes of God.
Is God against him having multiple wives too? Or is that not a big deal to him?
It depends on who you ask. In the Old Testament, probably not. I don't know. That's a tough one. It just kind of depends on at what point in the Bible and, like, which religion you're going off of.
Okay.
I mean, it probably didn't look good on his, like, track record when he got there, you know, like
his good points.
And God's like, and another thing. So that brings me to the Lesser Key of Solomon, or Lemageddon. Lemageddon?
Lemageddon.
That sounds about right.
It's pronounced a Lamagon. So just a little background to that. I was working at this place called Coco's in Washburn, Wisconsin, which is delicious. And they took the pandemic really seriously. They closed their inside. They, like, sold everything through their window. Lots of, like, soups and sandwiches and baked goods and stuff like that that are really yummy. I was working there one time, and I was hearing this woman talking to these two people because it's a big touristy place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just heard her saying how the locals pronounce it a Shawamagon.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Will you pronounce it for me?
Shawamigan?
It's Shawamigan.
Oh,
just
my
like she was so confident, and she's like the locals.
So anyway, the Lesser Key of Solomon is an anonymous grimoire on demonology. It was compiled in the mid-17th century of materials mostly of a couple centuries older than that. It was divided into 5 books, which are, I'm not going to try to pronounce, but there's 5 separate books in this book.
Okay.
The book gives details on how to evoke the 72 named demons mentioned. The demons are said to be ruled by 4 kings of the cardinal directions. The first edition of The Lesser Key of Solomon was edited by Aleister Crowley and transcribed by S.L. McGregor Mathers, which are really big names in demonology, if you don't know.
Did not know. Not versed in demonology, I'll admit it.
Yeah, I'm not much. I mean, I know some stuff, but not to the point where I would say I know about it. You know what I mean?
Still more than I know.
I find it very interesting. So I actually looked this up on Amazon, this book, and I've had it favorited for a while now, for about a month, and I kind of want it.
You've been sitting on it?
Yeah, I've been sitting on it. They have different like sigils and signs and stuff in it for all of the different demons. It's really neat. I'm going to pull it up on Amazon right now.
You think you're going to get it? You sound like you want it.
I do want it. I find it really interesting. I wish I could find it on like Libby or something where I could just borrow it and read it for free.
Oh, you can't.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
You want it long enough. Mm-hmm. You still want it.
Right. You can get copies of it for like 10, 20 bucks on Amazon.
That's not bad at all.
Mm-mm. There's like a fancy copy for like 50.
Completely different. But did I send you that it's like a journal, like it's for the whole year, but it's to for people who menstruate to record their menstrual cycle. And then you also can like, record, it's like a journal, and you just like say what the moon phase is the same day, like what your menstrual cycle's at, just like, I don't know, keep track of that.
I don't remember you sending that to me.
It looks pretty cute.
Yeah, I never thought to track the moon phase and my period at the same time,
right? I just think it'd be interesting. Like, I never know. My problem is I never know when my period's supposed to be coming.
Like, I never keep track, and then it's irregular enough to where it's always kind of a surprise, so.
Surprise. It's the better kind of surprise.
Better to be surprised when you get it than to be surprised when you don't.
Exactly.
So I'm going to read off my sources. I did visit Wikipedia this time.
You did?
I did. I had to do what I had to do.
You gotta do it sometimes.
And what I did was read a little Wikipedia.
You're forgiven.
The article, King Solomon, Stanford Scholar, considers how the man who had everything ended with nothing, by Cynthia Haven for Stanford. Where Demons Come From, by Livia Gershon for Daily. Gestor.org.
Okay.
Annalise Mickle and The Shocking Images from The Exorcism of the Real Emily Rose by Gabe Paoletti for allthatinteresting.com. And I will post some of the pictures from that article onto our Instagram. Because it shows what Annalise looked like at the beginning, like her before her diagnosis, her senior picture, and then her during her exorcisms.
Can you post that recording you listened to too of her voice or no?
I can see. I don't know if I'll be able to add it to the Instagram feed, but I can add it to the story for sure. I'll see what I can do. Sometimes YouTube's kind of tricky with what you can put onto Instagram.
Okay. Well, if you can't, you have my Snapchat.
Yeah, I'll send it to you for sure.
Okay, thank you.
Otherwise, I can...
You're so much better at finding things than me.
I can try to, like, add a link to the post that I put her pictures on, too.
Okay, cool.
I know that's not always the easiest way to do that on Instagram, but I'm sure if you just search it, it'll come up, too.
Yeah.
And our Instagram is From the Haunted Closet.
Yes, it is. That's us.
That's us.
Me and you. You and me.
If you have a story that you want to submit, you can DM us there, or you can email us at fromthehauntedcloset.com. Hey. Thanks for listening, and don't get possessed by demons.
Unless you want to.
And if you summon demons, summon responsibly.
Always summon demons responsibly. Okay. Right. I can't because I'm mentally ill, but right. You're not mentally ill.
You know what? Do it and tell us how it works out for you.
Yeah. If there's anybody out there, that's why nobody can summon demons anymore.
Right? Everyone's fucking depressed.
Right?
Or anxious. Or just, like, desperate to meet the life's ambition.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Honestly, all of it.
I don't think it'll work out, guys.
Yeah.
Better luck next time. Okay.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.